News Radio 930 WBEN.
It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Tom Bowerly, David Bellavia, great to be with you. And stay listening, because even if you think we're a couple of tools, or that I'm a tool and David's awesome, or David's a tool and I'm awesome, doesn't matter. We don't really play ego games here on Bowerly and Bellavia.
I just thought of something during the break. Tom and I were talking about what would happen if you could host a radio show with the sound quality, with just like a little microphone on the side of your face. If you could do this show anywhere and it sound like you were in a studio, what would it be? The beach, right?
It would be the beach.
Could you imagine?
It's been done before. But
no, never.
Not
in the history of Entercom.
No, it's been done before by others. But no, the technology right now is absolutely sensational. And we actually discovered an app today that would allow us to literally be in Tahiti and do the telephone show
with
and
the same crisp quality of voice.
Yeah, you would think that we were in Buffalo when we could be in Tahiti. David could be in Tahiti. I'd be in Jamaica.
And here's the big reveal.
Of course, I'd be not sober, but.
Yeah, but anyway,
that might make for great radio.
Yeah. So, but anyway, back to the topic of the day, and we'll take your calls at 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN, at the Volkswagen of
Orchard Park
text board, or as we call it, the BBBB.
The Bowerly and Bellavia bitch board. That's what we call it. But we don't read. No, we use it for traffic.
That's right.
That's what we primarily use it for, because otherwise it's just a morale killer, and it kind of sucks. It sucks the phone calls off the show.
You know, I forgot what a stressful day that is for Alan when we get our first snow.
Oh,
that was yesterday. Was rough.
I was gonna bring him a bottle of Southern Comfort today.
Those weatherbed, the weatherbed music was dying. You know what I mean? It was like burr, 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 and it was just like over.
So do you agree with Jim Acosta getting his press credentials back and going back to the White House and the principle under which the judge ruled? Now, the Trump-appointed judge said, and I'll try to explain this as best as I can as a non-lawyer, and I agree, as much as I dislike Jim Acosta, as much as I'm not a CNN fan, okay, I understand, at least this is a court decision, I understand. Jim Acosta was a duly credentialed member of the press. He was kicked out of being a duly credentialed member of the press. He did not have a chance to present his side of the story. So basically, guys, if you remember back during the Kavanaugh case, when we kept saying, where is the beef? Where is the due process? Where is the evidence? The accused has a chance to tell his side of the story. Well, we would be hypocrites if we were to apply that set to Associate Justice Kavanaugh, but not to apply it to Jim Acosta. And, you know, this is a temporary situation as it stands right now. And you'll be happy to know that the White House is being encouraged to and are developing rules of conduct for reporters, how they should conduct themselves at news conferences. So I got to say that, and this is not like a vote that I love the way Jim Acosta feels about President Trump. I love the way he handles himself with President Trump. It's not that. It's about a deeper legal principle, which if it applied to Kavanaugh, it's got to apply to Acosta.
And let's be honest, the previous administration, another thing they loved to do was get inside your email account, which who wouldn't want their personal information hijacked by the administration, or in other cases.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that James Rosen from Fox News actually had his computer hacked by the Obama administration? That Cheryl Atkinson actually had documents planted in her computer she wasn't supposed to have by the Obama administration?
Well, one more. John Brennan actually wiretapped the cloakroom to the Senate of the Republicans' meeting area, but neither here nor there. You've got people surveilling phones, you know, political adversaries surveilling phones, and yet, you know, telling Jim Acosta maybe you need to settle down and relax. Maybe he needs a timeout. That was too much. That was a constitutional crisis for CNN. But when Obama was, you know, surfing the web on other people's cell phones, that was cool.
Right.
Priorities.
David, there's a double standard, and over the years, this audience and the Buffalo Talk Radio audiences in general, on a myriad of issues, I think we are in agreement, and actually right and left are in agreement, that you can't have a double standard. No matter where the double standard originates, everybody wants fair and equal treatment.
I totally understand that, but at the same time, I think fair and equal treatment is a little bit different when you have 24-hour cycles on every aspect of this president's life. It's a totally different, even in 8 years, where we've come as far as covering a president, there's no genuflecting of Trump.
No.
He can have pro-Trump people in the media pool. They're still not treating him the way, a standing ovation for when he leaves office. Could you imagine Donald Trump getting that?
No, that was, again, I thought it was very unprofessional, but then again, it was Barack Obama, Saint Barack. This hour of Bowerly and Bellavia is brought to you by Account Temps. Payroll, bookkeeping, month end. Are you feeling short-staffed? Account Temps can provide accounting and finance professionals on a temporary or project basis when you need them to help with increased workloads. Call Account Temps today or visit accounttemps.com. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. All right, so agree or disagree with Jim Acosta going back to the White House press corps, back on the job. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. We have a lot of regular listeners who check us out 3 hours a day, each and every day. Got to say hello to one of the local police chiefs. Don't worry, I will not name you. I was hanging out with him last night for a while. Regular listener to this show. Major department, by the way. And it is a birthday today for one of our regular listeners, David. It's a gentleman from Eden, New York.
William.
Bill from Eden. It is Bill from Eden's birthday, so happy birthday to Bill in Eden. Yay!
There you go, Bill.
He's probably segueing up here now.
It's like the Uncle Bobby show.
Oh, how about Mr. Dress-Up? I never got that one. Canadian children's television was weird.
Little John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah. Here's Rambo Jim in North Tonawanda. Rambo Jim.
Yeah, here's what I would do, what I would say to President Trump if I was his advisor at the White House. Mr. President, Jim Acosta has been given his White House press credentials back, and it was one of our judges that made the decision. So we can't start screaming that he was a wacky left-wing Obama judge.
Not the Ninth Circuit.
Right, right. So, however, Mr. President, we give round one to Acosta and the Trump haters and give them that round. Now, Mr. President, it's time for round two. Jim Acosta has made it very clear that he totally and completely disagrees with your policies, Mr. President, down on the border. You've got to show who the boss is. You've got to have to double down. You pick up that phone on your desk, Mr. President. You call the commanding general of the United States Army and say, as by tomorrow morning, I want an entire brigade from the 82nd Airborne Division from Fort Bragg with 50 Green Berets, a minimum of 50 Green Berets, jumping in on the American side of the border. In addition, I want a battalion of Rangers jumping in with the 82nd Airborne and Special Forces. I want the Delta Force jumping in. I want Navy SEALs jumping in. Right. Then, Mr. President, and then you also say you want Marine Special Operations to jump in, too. Then you say, then I would say, Mr. President, at the very next press conference, you say to, hey, Acosta, don't wait for Acosta to start a fight with you. You start the fight with him. And you say, hey, Acosta, you scummy little left-wing punk, what did you think about that big show I had the military put on down on the border? The sky was filled.
See, that gives Jim Acosta exactly what he wants, though.
I'm just saying, this is one of the most well-thought-out revenge tactics I've ever heard, though. Keep going.
Yeah, and you say to him, I'm the boss. And you say anything you want to say. I am president of the United States of America.
Don't you love in Rambo Jim scenarios, every time someone's wronged, he drops airborne infantry in.
I thought he was going to drop the 82nd into CNN.
No, seriously, though. It's always about airborne infantry troops. That is the paramount.
Well, we were, believe it or not, when I was on active duty, and I'm not, this isn't something I'm making up. Wherever we went, because Mrs. Carter at President Carter's inauguration, she was so impressed with the 82nd Airborne, she went out of her way to compliment the paratroops. And wherever we went, people actually called us Rosalind's kids.
Oh.
Rosalind's kids. So what I'm saying is, he can then say to the Trump haters, hey, I got the power. I got the authority. And if I want to shut the border down, I'm shutting the border down. I'll use whatever military force I choose to use because the commanders in the Army have to do what I tell them to do. That's a fact. When I asked my platoon sergeant at Fort Bragg why we were jumping, and he said, because Jimmy Carter is commander-in-chief, and he said so. Is that a good enough reason? I said, yeah, platoon sergeant, that's a real good reason. The president is the boss, and President Trump's got to start putting his foot down and showing that he's the boss. And then at the next Trump rally, he can say, hey, what all you guys think about the sky was just full of parachutes.
All right, Rambo Jim, when's the last time you jumped?
September 1979.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, I do miss the excitement. You know, the green light comes on and the wind, that plane, see, to keep a troop transport in the air, that plane has to be flying at a minimum speed of 160 miles an hour. You are exiting a high-performance jump jet aircraft at 160 miles an hour. It is a rush like nothing you've ever experienced again.
It still amazes me. That's on my bucket list of things to do, although certain female considerations mean I could be neutered if I pursue that much further. Glad you called, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the news of the day, we'll get into some other things as the show moves along, but the news of the day, Jim Acosta is back on the job for CNN at the White House as a result of that suit that was filed by CNN and I think about 1,000 other people. And basically, the judge said that Acosta's Fifth Amendment rights were violated, that he didn't really have a chance to defend himself. So once you have the press credentials to be a part of the White House press corps, once those have been awarded to you, that there must be a perfectly good reason and the opportunity to defend yourself before you can get those credentials revoked. So at least for now, he is back on the job. And what the White House is going to be doing is they're going to be putting together a list of rules of order or rules of conduct in which every media person is going to have to cooperate in order to continue to be a member of the White House Corps. That makes sense to me, David.
It does, but I think, you know, this is, if you want to say it's a shot over the bow or whatever the case may be, it was a huge distraction, totally unnecessary. I don't, anytime the media is going to act like they're the victim, they're going to lose every time. The American people don't. And this was a tragedy with the fires in California. People lost their lives in these fires. And not only that, their property. And it doesn't matter if you make $25 million a year or you are worth $25. That still stinks when you have your whole life burned down. However, these Hollywood actors are so out of touch that there really is very little sympathy. And to me, this is not a positive thing. It's a horrible thing. But even in a time when the nation should be pulling together, nobody wants to give money to those areas of Malibu. No one wants to help out. They see them as,
right,
you know, folks that just cause trouble for the rest of America. You don't like us. You get involved in politics. It's a sad time for the country. It really is. And the media is as responsible as the president.
Well, let's get back to the calls. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Getting your take on this. This is Joe in Buffalo. Joe, you are on WBEN. Welcome.
How you doing, Tom?
Sir, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just, I'm 18 years old. I really love politics. You know, I watch Fox News and CNN to get both sides, and I love, even if I miss it, I go back and watch Sarah Sanders press briefings. Jim Acosta is out of line every other day, and it's just getting insane. I honestly do not believe he should get his credentials back. I don't think he needs to be in the White House if he's going to act like that.
Well, the beautiful part about this decision is it is forcing the White House to put together rules of order. So if everything is codified and everybody knows what is expected, what is acceptable behavior, what is unacceptable behavior, and it is posted just like a speed limit sign or a stop sign, they will have a legal basis then to basically make Jim Acosta change his ways.
Well, I think that's good with the rules coming in, because you know CNN, the left, these guys don't listen to rules. They're the party of.
But what could the rules possibly be, Joe? I mean, don't put your hands on an intern. I mean, what is this? Alec Baldwin breaks the rules every day. He says horrible things about women. He says horrible things about gay people. The rules don't exist to these people.
I know that's the I am a registered Republican. I registered the day I turned 18. I try and see the good and bad on both sides. But nowadays, you can't. The left is so. They're the party of not following rules and just causing havoc.
But at least this way, there is a legal basis for the Trump administration or subsequent administrations to set up rules that they want everybody to live by. And if Jim Acosta is in violation of these new rules, he won't have a leg to stand on, because the argument will be, we had rules, you knew the rules, you broke the rules, and as long as they're enforced fairly and uniformly, that should be cool. If you got something else you want to add into that, you can hold on if you would like to do so on News Radio 930 WBEN.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Well, that moment for which you've been waiting is now. All right, let's get back to the calls. Jim Acosta has had his press credentials restored. Joe in South Buffalo. Joe, not a big fan of CNN or Acosta. Joe, do you understand the reason and the logic under which Acosta's credentials were restored?
Yes, I understand what you're talking about. And
even if we don't like CNN or Jim Acosta, I mean, basically, I'm going to apply the Kavanaugh standard to Acosta and agree with the judge, who was appointed by Donald Trump.
Yeah, and this is also why I like you and Dave. You guys, like what you just said, with holding with the whole Kavanaugh situation, like, you know, the left looks at us like, oh, these guys are just going to use this to their advantage or whatever. No, we see the good and bad on both sides. We're good people, right? But I believe I like the rules. I think the White House, the press corps does need some rules to keep everyone in check. But you do need to send a message. I think Acosta, he's not the only one that's going to, you know, you bring him back, he's going to do the same thing. He's not going to change, I'm telling you.
No, he's not. But at least now there are rules under which he may be permanently removed from the press corps if he doesn't follow them. It will be codified. So thank you very much for the call.
Thank you. Have a good day, guys.
Let's see. We did a couple of birthday wishes. I want to add one more to that. We work with a lady named Brenda Alacy, and this is her husband's birthday. So, Dan Lockie, happy birthday to you, and you've got yourself one awesomely special lady, Brenda Alacy.
And let's check out the weather in your neck of the woods.
What is this, the weather outside? Then we're going to be like Barry Lillis now wearing a T-shirt?
Willard, what was his name? Willard Scott?
Was it Willard Scott?
Willard.
I just remember Wilford Brimley because, yeah. You know why?
Diabetes.
He had diabetes. Here is Dan in Northtown. They were joking about diabetes. My daughter's a type 1 diabetic, has been since she was 10. Here's Dan in Northtown. I got a shield, in other words. Here's Dan in North Tonawanda. I'll stand behind my kids like a coward. I'm not a fool. Here's Dan in NT on WBEN. Dan, welcome to Bowerly and Bellevue.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, sir.
Okay. I'm calling about Acosta, and of course, the ruling. I think the ruling is actually a blessing, because now it's going to kick them into getting a standing operating procedure, which we need in all businesses everywhere you go.
Dan, let me just stop you right there. Are you a little shocked that there isn't one already?
Yes, I am. I thought there was a something in place as far as respect.
You're right.
First of all. Yeah, you ask the question, you get a chance to rebut the question, and then after that, the president has the option to move on to another reporter. I thought that was a standard as far as this. You know, taking hard shots by reporters, that's a gimme. That's going to happen.
And by the way, we have breaking news. The journalist that threw a shoe at President Bush has just been reinstated.
That's fake news.
No, fake news. There you go.
Well, my point is that the procedure I would have is that, yes, you can ask a question, you can rebut the question, but then it would be the option of the president to continue letting you talk, because reporters are going to grandstand and want to get in as many questions as they can, but you got to get around the room. So out of respect for the other reporters to get their questions out, I think that's just a simple standing operating procedure that should be followed.
What would you like to see out of the White House press corps in terms of its behavior? Because I know what I'd like to see.
Well, first of all, asking hard questions is what I like to see, but being disrespectful is not what I like to see.
Define disrespectful.
Well, taking shots to make a point on a certain party that doesn't agree with another party is, well, if that, if I'm explaining myself right here, what I'm saying is that getting personal, let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people are, but you know, the thing that shocks me is that how absolutely angry these folks are. They're not just, you know, their opportunity to throw a bomb at Donald Trump, whether it's Sarah Sanders, a spokesperson, it's not just about scoring points and getting TV time. It's about landing the biggest haymaker you can, because you can get a career overnight by being outrageously, you know, antagonizing and developing a following because you're such a pain in the butt.
And that, is, to me, is not a good teaching for any society.
Well, is it good TV, by the way?
And by the way, it's entirely possible to ask tough questions but not do so in a bellicose way. I mean, you can be a hard ass with questions without coming off like you are a total tool.
Yep, and things are, I mean, the hard questions are, what's going on in this world? What are we going to do to correct it? That kind of thing, to me, is a hard question. Talking just politics is not a hard question.
All right. Hey, thank you very much for the call, Dan.
Yes, sir.
There's Dan in North Tonawanda, probably a neighbor of Rambo Jim. Here is Tom in Amherst on WBEN. Tom.
Hello, Tom.
And David.
You're Tom.
Okay. I have not read the decision, and I just tuned in, but I can tell you the judge was wrong on the law. First of all, yesterday he could not make a decision if he should walk to work or take his lunch, so he postponed it until today because it was between Trump, who appointed him, and Acosta. But there was no law broken. There was no case. There was no impingement upon freedom of speech because Acosta has said.
Well, you didn't. You said you didn't hear the decision earlier. The decision was based on a Fifth Amendment issue that Acosta did not have a chance to defend himself against having his credentials revoked.
And since there wasn't any standard, there's no reason to revoke his. There's no reason to revoke his pass without giving him an opportunity to defend himself.
Well, he could have had the opportunity. If you are driving down the street with a weapon and they take your weapon, you ultimately get it back, but you do lose it for a while they take it into evidence. Same thing. There's no difference at all because it's an instrumentality of the crime.
Right, but that's not what happened here, though. What you basically had was is that someone made a comment. The president thought he was out of line, disrespectful, but what the White House hit him at was for assaulting an intern.
Oh, he didn't even touch her. I saw the film 10 times.
Well, right, but what I'm saying, the allegation that was made was that he made contact with an intern. They said that was inappropriate. They never went after for, you know, being disrespectful. They said he made contact with an intern. That is not a policy. And so if you're going to fire someone or get rid of their pass because of a policy that was broken, that's not a policy anymore, well, things are changing in the White House, and they're all going to get policies and procedures.
But if you brush up against someone, it's hardly an assault.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I thought the whole thing was ridiculous. But you hear people do that. Look, you watch a basketball game, see someone fall on the ground for brushing up against someone. It happens all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think we agree. We're on the same page.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see what the code of conduct is going to be at the White House and how vigorously it's going to be enforced. That's the key.
I think you can ask tough questions and be respectful of the office, if nothing else. You don't have to respect the man, respect the rank.
Absolutely right, David.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much. We'll move to Steve on WBEN. Real good, Steve. Real good. We were biting this morning. That's from an old Labatt's ad that used to air in every Sabres game about 10 years ago. One of the best ads ever. Anytime you've got fish talking, you can't lose. Steve, you're on WBEN.
Yes. Hello, Tom and Dave. I heard Paul Cambria's explanation, and what I didn't understand, I thought he was extrapolating maybe too much, because this is not a federal job that Jim Acosta has, or it's not a criminal matter. It's like a private club. The president actually does not have to have any press conferences.
That's a very good point.
They never had these. So what is to stop the president from saying, Look, okay, Jim Acosta, you forced your way back in. Fine. You all can sit in this room, and I'll be up in my bedroom having a beer. And when Jim Acosta leaves, we'll carry on with the press conference.
He never – listen, the President of the United States – I got news for you. The State of the Union address is not required under the Constitution. All the President has to do is every year address Congress on the State of the Union. He could do it with a letter. He could do it with a press conference. He does not have to do what we see every year as the State of the Union. But you're right. He – as long as he's what the president can't do is he can't obviously not disclose information that's happening. He can't hide it or withhold facts that the people want to know. But he is not required to physically give a press conference. So if you wanted to punish the whole media pool, I think that they would all hurt if Donald Trump stopped talking to the media. I mean, well, by the way, Barack Obama did that for a year and a half at the end of his tenure. No one was upset about that on the left.
I agree with you. And, to say that everyone, has a right to be, once they've had a privilege, but does this apply if somebody's got a private club in their basement where they smoke cigars and they invite all their friends and then somebody turns into a jerk and they say, hey, you can't come anymore. And can the government say, no, you have to keep letting that person come to your basement?
I read a story once in Washington, D.C., when I was working down there, that a guy, they passed a smoking ban, and they wouldn't allow bars to have cigarettes. And so this guy contacted, like, some foreign country and made the bar the embassy of this country, which allows the protectorate to say that within these confines is foreign sovereign territory. And they allowed the bar to stay open and allow cigarettes to be smoked in a sovereign embassy.
Somebody's basement is not going to get the same constitutional kind of consideration as the White House. I mean, it was a Fifth Amendment issue as decided by the judge. Now, Paul Cambria explained it to us. We should probably replay the Cambria interview for people who didn't hear it.
But I think I'm with Steve on the idea here that just because he went through. Here's the thing. I don't believe they could have revoked the pass unless there was behavior that dictated that the pass be revoked. But they certainly can bar him from press conferences. Absolutely.
And I wouldn't let him ask any more questions.
Well, but my point is that being barred from the White House is much more than having access to the president. Your office is there. You have computers there. You have hookups there. It would be like taking a guy like Sal Capaccio and saying you can't go to One Bills Drive. He needs access to that stadium to do his job. And Sal Capaccio has total access to One Bills Drive.
Yeah, I think we just revoked Sal's press credentials. Yeah, let us get back to the calls on WBEN right after the news at 5. Not sure how long we will continue this, but we do want to hear what Paul Cambria had to say, so don't go anywhere. Here is Mary on WBEN. Mary.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. My opinion about what Acosta did is I'm looking at it that he's just a bully, plain and simple. He was bullying the president. I think it sets a bad precedence for our younger generation, but it also sets a bad precedence for the media in general or anybody else in a position where...
Mary, is that a turn signal or a metronome? Mary, I hate to interrupt. Is that a turn signal or a metronome?
Turn signal.
That is the loudest turn signal I've ever heard in my life.
I thought she was guest hosting 60 Minutes.
Morley Safer. Mary. Keep going, Mary.
Okay, but, I mean, what else would you call it? He was bullying.
That seems to be something that's absolutely a non-starter in any circle in the world today. You can't, especially an unpaid intern. This is just a girl, doing her duty there, trying to volunteer.
But you don't think he assaulted her?
I don't think he assaulted. I mean, assault is a ridiculous allegation. But he definitely touched her, and it was rude, and he should have apologized as a gentleman.
Yeah, but,
But he's not.
Any other person in the press that would go out and bully someone in a position of authority like that. I mean.
And it's not a Clinton. It is uncalled for.
I mean, do you think we could have ever bullied Obama like that? Not a chance.
The media never would have done it.
Would have gotten away with it.
They would not have done it because they loved him.
Oh, no, they didn't love him. They didn't have a choice. it was dangerous territory to go and bully someone in his.
Well, I don't know, because I remember Chris Matthews talking about getting all moist-eyed seeing the crease in Obama's pants. I mean, there was a love affair between the media and Barack Obama.
Well, it was an exciting time. Look, Barack Obama is not elected unless white people vote for a black president. And, you know, the problem the media has is that the same white people that elected a black guy as president elected Donald Trump as president. So, I mean, you can't say that all of a sudden because you voted for Trump, now you're a racist. That's not the way it works.
No, but, I mean, you couldn't bully or do that to a black president. It wouldn't have...
Oh, I see where you're going with that.
They would have lost their credentials. They would have been thrown out.
And if you said that he was clean and articulate, you would be Joe Biden.
But you know what? Here's where the double standard thing comes in that we said before. Let's just say that Clarence Thomas was president. Do you think the same rule applies?
Of course not.
Yes.
No, you can do whatever you want to Clarence Thomas. You can do whatever you want to Ben Carson. Any African-American who happens to be conservative, they're Uncle Tom's.
Right.
They're the worst people in the world.
Their house.
Sold out their own race. Yeah, it's always ethnicity and skin color are secondary behind political affiliation. I'm just giving you the primer. That's what it is. But anyway, thank you for your call. Appreciate
thank you,
it, Mary.
And have we ever decided, is it primer or primer? Have we ever, because when I was growing up, it was primer, then it became primer. I could never figure that out.
Do you prim your walls?
I prime my walls. I have BT Epoxy Crete do it for me.
If we proponed the press conference.
Proponed it.